for the youth do some readers theater for this. Now, I put out the word this week asking if I could get youth to come and do the scripture for this week and throughout Lent. And you will hear three voices in this scripture from the Gospel of Matthew. You'll hear a narrator, you will hear Satan, and you will hear Jesus. Now, when I put out the word asking first come, first serve for parts, Satan was the first one asked for. They couldn't all have it, so the first one to ask got it, which happened to be Claire. Her mom who wrote back to me said, she wants to be saying what every mom wants to hear.
The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert so that the devil could test him. After Jesus had gone without eating for 40 days and nights, he was very hungry. Then the devil came to him and said,
if you are God's son, tell these stones to turn into bread.
The scripture says, no one can live only on food. People need every word that God has spoken.
Next, the devil took Jesus to the holy city and had him stand on the highest part of the temple.
If you are God's son, jump off. The scriptures say, God will give his angels orders about you. They will catch you in their arms, and you won't hurt your feet on the stones.
The scriptures also say, don't try to test the Lord your God.
Finally, the devil took Jesus up on a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms on earth and their power.
I will give you all this if you bow down and worship me.
Go away, Satan. The scriptures say, worship the Lord your God and serve only him.
Then the devil left Jesus, and angels came to help him. A word from our holy scriptures.
Thanks be to God.
If the youth want to go with Mel now, you're welcome to do that. Years ago, I got into the habit of going on a prayer and fasting retreat once a year. I would go off by myself quietly and not see anybody for this entire time. I always found it rewarding, even though I didn't always find it easy, because sometimes it was a struggle to get through those days. But I always loved it because it was a journey of discovery, of discovering God and discovering more about myself and somehow bringing the two closer together. It was a time when I was closest to, I believe, creation and to God, and felt that oneness of all things. Like I said, it wasn't always easy, but it was always wonderful. I always felt renewed and spiritually stronger after taking this time away. In Jesus' day, taking these prayer and fasting retreats were a common practice. It was a practice to go to a place of solitude, usually the desert, because it was in a desert land. But it was a desert both literally and metaphorically, and it was a time to spend in prayer and fasting. There you would seek God, you would seek more of who you were, and bring the two closer together, strengthening the soul. I believe that this is the journey that we are all called to as spiritual beings, to bring humanity closer to the God nature within each one of us and to bring healing in ourselves and to the world. So it is in our scripture reading this morning that we find Jesus being led by the Spirit of God out into the desert as he prepares for his work in the world, because this was at the beginning of his ministry. Before he ever went out and called his disciples and started his ministry, he went out for these 40 days in the wilderness. And it is in this place that we find him wrestling with multiple temptations to do and to become something else, symbolized by this exchange between Satan, which literally means the tempter, and himself. Out of this time of testing and temptation will come a mastery over his own desires. And he will emerge prepared for a ministry of teaching and healing, and ultimately of death at the hands of those who would destroy the vision that he had for the world. A vision that came out of this time in the desert. He went into the desert not to think about God, but to be with God. For the best way to know God is not through thinking about God, but through experiencing God. To know God, we have to be with God. We don't engage in these practices too much anymore, prayer and fasting. Spending concentrated periods of time with God. We seem to find it hard in our culture today not only to deny or deprive ourselves of anything, but to engage in the spiritual wrestling in order to grow strong spirits, to fortify our souls. We don't seem to realize in our society that the inner journey toward God and toward ourselves is the most exciting, rewarding, enriching journey any human being could ever take. We settle for less because we don't know the more that we could have. We're not encouraged to spend time in solitude anymore with ourselves and with God. We like to be busy, and we like to tell others that we're busy. It seems to be a badge of honor. This week I was chatting with somebody who happens to be out of work and also happens to be without a home and finding themselves a little bit at loose ends. But when I asked one day this week, how was your day? They said, busy. It's just prevalent today that we have to be busy. What? If we're not busy, it implies we are lazy or something. Busyness is somehow wrapped up with our identities these days. In fact, I do say it, but I catch myself once in a while starting to say it because everybody says it. It's so common today. Then we wonder why more and more people in the world are rejecting religion and rejecting God. Could it be that we as Christians are not doing such a good job at showing people what faith could truly look like? We don't see spending time with God as time productively spent. The rewards are not visible to ourselves or others, at least we think. And besides, we're not even taught anymore how to spend time with God. We haven't been encouraged to be still and just be with God. It's really easier, unfortunately, in some ways, to be busy and to ignore our spiritual lives. Yet there are those I know that we know in the world who do know how to be with God, to nurture their spiritual lives. These are the people I would call the wise people in the world, the ones who stay grounded, calm, and content when the world is swirling around them. I know a few of them. They're the people you love to be around because they seem so comfortable in their own skin. They may not even have to say much, but what they say is profound. They cut right through to the soul when they speak because they get it. They are often the ones who have chosen the way of non-attachment to worldly things and have instead promoted love, humility, harmony, simplicity, forgiveness, and grace, just as Jesus did. As we must, if our faith is to mean anything in the world or change it in any significant way. Spiritual people show us another way to be in the world, not the way of the busy majority, but the way of serenity, peace, nonviolence, non-judgment. In our passage today, we find Jesus being led into the desert by the Spirit of God. Our desire to be with God is always brought about by something in us that finds that we need it, that we need God. We will be drawn somehow to something more than we currently know, than we have right now. We recognize the emptiness in us, the space that needs something, and we sometimes feel and seek more than we, in our sane moments, know there is. There is something beyond this. There seems to be a restlessness in many people that I note. This kind of restlessness to always be doing something else, to trying something new, to doing something different, that keeps people searching, but also frustrated and busy. We're looking for something that the world will not, in the end, offer us. God will. We must go to the desert, to a quiet place, to find it. I think that we miss the point of this passage in Scripture when we focus too much on the temptations that Jesus had to face. Most commentators go to that place. Let's look at the temptations. But the temptations themselves are variations on one basic theme. Get more, be more, dominate more. They're really about power, all of these temptations. Satan says, use your power to get more goods, like food. Use your power to get more attention. Go up on the temple where everybody's going to see you and throw yourself down and let God catch you. You'll be a great spectacle. You'll get more attention. Use your power to gain more control over the world. Satan says, worship me. And I'm going to give you everything, this whole world to dominate. That's the basis, basically, of all temptations. Use what you have, use your power to get what you want. More wealth, more attention, more control, more. These temptations, however, distract us from what we really want. Peace. Genuine peace. Satan in these stories is always pitted against God, trying to distract us from what God offers. We can be drawn to the world and of control and power that Satan offers, which most people are, or we can take the narrower path of drawing away from those things, which most people don't really get because we're too distracted and too busy to get that there is another path that we could take. This week we had governing board meeting, and we all got binders to organize ourselves, hopefully. One of the sheets that I suggested we use for the cover of our binder was a picture of a forest, and a path going towards it with a fork in the road. And I put a little quote from Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland. And in it, Alice is walking towards the forest, and she's on a path, and she comes to a fork in the road, and she runs into the Cheshire Cat, and she says to the Cheshire Cat, which way should I go? And the Cheshire Cat says, where do you want to get to? And she said, I don't know. And he said, then it doesn't really matter. But it does matter. It matters which path we take. The focus on this passage is not that Jesus was tempted or the temptations themselves. Everyone's tempted. We all are, by just very mundane things during the day, by getting something, by looking for more attention, or by looking for more control, whether it's over other people, our lives, our children, our spouses, whatever. Temptation, in fact, is so commonplace that it's rather bland and unexceptional. Temptation. It's just a daily part of life. Easy to catch us up. The real story in this passage isn't the temptations or their nature. The really exceptional and amazing part of this passage is that Jesus so utterly and convincingly overcame the temptations, even in his weakened and vulnerable state. This is the miracle, that he could push away all of the temptations. That fascinates me. Temptations happen to everyone. How do you avoid buying that widget or gadget or shiny trinket when you know you don't need it, which I did last night? How do you, this applies to me, whether anybody else, how do you pass by the ice cream or cookie or candy section and not pick something up? How do you stop yourself from trying to control someone else's life or their decisions or the outcome of a situation? Where do you get the courage to face up to your shortcomings and make changes in your life, or to practice the discipline to do what's best, not what's convenient? How do you avoid the computer or TV when you know that there are more productive things you could be doing, relationships you could be working on, health concerns you need to address, growing edges you need to nurture in your own life? What stops you from giving in to jealousy or self-righteous anger or feeling sorry for yourself? How do you avoid running away from something you know you need to face? There is temptation around every corner. Throughout Lent, I'm inviting a few people to come and share with us something of their faith story and what has had an impact on them as they have grown in their relationship to God and perhaps have overcome something in their own journey of faith. And today, I've invited Betty Lou to come and tell us a little piece of her story.
First thing, a few years ago, if I had this on my face, I wouldn't even be standing here. I would be hiding in the darkest place I could possibly be in, which is definitely the start of my story, my wilderness. I am an extremely shy person. Both my parents were shy. And if people looked at me sideways, I would run away and I would burst into tears. Which, of course, didn't help any, because then people started making fun of me. And I was also a lot taller than a lot of people in my school. I had a different color of skin, because I do have a very yellow tone to my skin. And back when I was going to school, everyone was white. Very, very, very white. We had a few Chinese people, but only in elementary school. And then I don't know where they went. But I built a wall around myself, because I was so afraid of being hurt. I was so afraid to let people see who I was. And the more I built, the more I hurt, the more people saw me as, back then, they didn't call people bitches, but they did call people that they thought they were holier than thou and high and mighty. And that's what I came across of. As high and mighty, as feeling I was better. People saw me as thinking I was better than anybody else, which was the exact opposite of how I was. And in high school, I was dared to go to our youth group, High C, Highway to Christ. And I thought, okay, well, I pretty much have to go, because if I don't, I'm going to be badgered, and I'm going to be badgered, and I'm going to be badgered, so I might as well give in. So I gave in. And I didn't have fun the first year. I didn't have fun the second year. But I kept going because, again, the daring was there. And for a shy person, I was pretty stubborn. But in my last year, grade 12, we were at a retreat inside Westminster United Church, which is, we had retreats every year, and every year I did the same thing. The group would be sitting up in front, like, they would be sitting right here. And I would feel put upon and put down, and didn't want to be there. And I would walk back to the narthex or the literature table. And this night I was just picking through magazines and tossing them aside. And then I picked up an upper room and I opened it. I have no idea what I read, but my eyes were opened. And I literally saw this brick wall all the way around me. I literally saw it shatter around me. And I couldn't believe that there at the front they couldn't see it. They couldn't hear it. But it shattered. And I went back and I started talking to people. And they all thought I was nuts. Because I didn't talk to people. Like, I was the arrogant biatch. But did that change me completely? No. My wilderness continued because I didn't take the next step. I thought that, okay, well, this is all gone now. Everything's going to be perfect. Everyone's going to start listening to me. Everyone's going to respect me. Well, no. You have to earn that respect. You have to get people. You have to trust people to trust you. You have to be out there. And the next time I was out there, Keith was 9. And my best friend Alice, I think all of you pretty much know Alice because I've talked about her, and she's thrown me birthday parties and all, and she dragged me kicking and screaming to Crow's Nest Lake Bible Camp. I didn't want to go, but she paid for it. She signed me up. She signed Keith up, and when Alice gets in, you don't argue with her. But that's where I found out what I was supposed to do. I found out what my purpose was. My purpose. The way I truly feel God is through worship. The joy, the exhilaration of being able to stand there and just praise God. And no one looks at you as if you're nuts. You can stand up, and you can dance, and you can sing, and you can talk in front of people, and you can write, and you can just praise, and you can just be a part of God. And it's just so awesome. I feel God whenever I'm singing, whenever I'm praying, whenever I'm speaking about God. And I speak about God at work. I'll be sitting in the cafeteria and someone will ask me a question and I'll start talking about God because God is so important. God is, but God only is when you let God be in you, and you let God out so everyone else can feel what you feel, and hopefully they will find what their purpose in life is, to be with God and in God and for God. Thank you.
Thanks, Fedu. It's so easy to run away. It's so easy not to face what we need to face. It's so easy to give into the temptation of ignoring what we need to face. And we all face temptations. And let me tell you, many times I have wanted to run away from dealing with something. Yet facing them and overcoming them is the only way we will grow. You know, when you go to the gym, the only way to grow muscle is resistance training. Facing and overcoming temptation is the best way to grow spiritually. We become stronger each time we resist our temptations. Giving in to temptation is common, unremarkable. The strength and character it takes to overcome our temptations is really extraordinary in this day and age. Jesus shows us the way. Not an easier way, but the best way to overcome those things in our lives which prevent us from growing, which hinder our spiritual progress, which keep us mired in the mundane muck, which weighs down our ability to soar, to be free, and to live fully. Can you imagine a life where you are no longer tempted by power, ridding yourself of your attachment to stuff, your need to be important or noticed, your desire to have people or situations be anything but what they are? The freedom to let go of these things would be astronomical. The incredible peace and contentment in our lives would be unprecedented in this world and in this community. And our ability to model this for others would be incredible. The key, simple yet oh so difficult, is spiritual weight training, W-A-I-T. Spiritual weight training. Being with God, being still, as Jesus was, taking the time to really be with God, to know God and to be known by God, to still our lives long enough to let God work in our lives in ways that rid us of our need to be for anything but God. Let me tell you, no amount of willpower in the world will help us to overcome our own desires. Grounding ourselves in God and a power greater than ourselves is the way that Jesus modeled and is the key to overcoming our own willfulness. Lent, I believe, of all the seasons in the church year, offers us the opportunity to practice the presence of God in our lives, to be still with God. The question is, will we? Because I truly believe that the benefits are out of this world. Let's take some time right now to be still, to be quiet. Let's just not even have any music. And if you want to go and